Amen. And the children can be dismissed to Children's Church at this time, and they're in for a treat. My wife is doing Children's Church. I'm tempted to go. Be a part of that. No, we've got something good here for us today, and we are so grateful. It is a privilege. It really is a privilege to bring the Word of God and to present what the Lord has placed on our hearts. And as we come, you know, in a sense, to the table is set, and we're coming together to hear from the Lord today, to open up our hearts and our minds to Him, to have His Holy Spirit speak to us fresh from His Word, what He would have us to hear. And may we be attentive today to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us, and then respond accordingly, obediently, to please the Father, knowing that as we do, He continues to shape and mold us and make us like His Son. If you have your Bibles or your tablets or your smartphone, I encourage you to turn with us to Hebrews chapter 12. And we've been studying together, traveling together through Hebrews, a wonderful book. Some scholar says, well, really, it was a sermon that was preached, 13 chapters. And I haven't really tried to talk and recite the whole chapter from verse 1 to the end of chapter 13 and so on. I don't know how long that would take as a sermon, but we've broken it up as we've studied together. And we've discovered, you know, the Hebrew Christians during the time this letter was penned, they were really struggling in many different areas. They were being persecuted for their faith. They were doubting whether or not Jesus is the Messiah. Is He really the one who was claimed to be the Son of God and so forth. And they were being pressurized to go back to the Mosaic Law and to go back. It was like Jesus Christ plus something. And so the writer of the Hebrews here, this letter, he really starts out. He says, let me tell you that Jesus Christ, wow, who is He? Well, verse 3 of chapter 1, He is the radiance of the glory of God, period. And the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And He goes on and says, this Jesus Christ is more superior than the angels. He's greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, greater than Aaron the high priest. He is our great high priest who's been tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our coming King. And He encourages them, these believers, to keep their eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of the faith in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Great verses there. He says, since we're surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, who are those witnesses? Those in chapter 11 in the hall of faith. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for joy was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Wow, if we could just keep our eyes on Jesus, no matter what's going to be on the headlines tomorrow, if we can just keep our eyes on Jesus, no matter what's going to take place as we hear social media or look at the posts or tempted to post something on social media, if we would just keep our eyes looking to Jesus. Amen. What's that song? It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will what? Grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Whoa. His glory and grace. Wow. Man, if we could just look to Jesus. Christian and I were privileged to go to a worship conference this past week for a few days, the Experience Conference, had different worship leaders and artists there. Natalie Grant was sharing and a time, and she said, you know, she's became a worship leader of worship leaders, and there's about 18 or 20 or so in her church trying to corral them all, and some have this view that is way over here, and then some have this view that's diametrically opposed from that view way over here. And you know that view. What is that view? Well, she said, for us, we're trying to look to Jesus, and then, you know, all the else will just fall in place. Sometimes we as individuals want our way. And, you know, we say, my way is the right way. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Right? I'm going to take my football and go home. You don't like the way I play football? I'm going to take it and go home. No. We need to look to Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one we look to. He's the one we listen to. He's the one we allow His Spirit to come in our lives and remove those chains, remove the sin that so easily entangles us and binds us up and trips us up. And He's the one that says, listen to me. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to me. Follow me. Become like me. Wow. And now listen, that's all free. I'm stirred up this morning, so that's all good. So we are invited now in chapter 12 to not only look to Jesus, but we're invited to come and worship God in Him. And we are here in verses 18 and 19 in the scripture. And when we think of that word worship, what do you think of? You may think of the lights. And there was a lot of stuff this last week. The conference was at Disney at the Coronado Springs, and so they had lights, and they had smoke machines, and they had all kinds of stuff. Do we think that's worship? Do we think that's worship when you've got a talented artist who's sharing their talent and their gifts, and you just, you know, it's like, wow, you're in the audience, and you feel the drum beat and the bass hit your chest? And for some of us, we'd say, boy, that is uncomfortable. I'm leaving. Where's the door? And some of us say, oh, I want to get closer. I want to put my ear in the speaker, right? Or is it more subdued? Is it more liturgical? Is it more quiet? What is your practice of worship? Well, here in Hebrews 12, he's reminding these believers in Christ that we are invited to come and worship. Let's follow along, beginning with verse 18. It says, for you have not come, notice that line, you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Verse 21, indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear, but you have come. Notice that line. But you have come. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape what they refused when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are invited to come into the presence of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to offer acceptable worship, reasonable worship, worship that is filled with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Here's a picture of Mount Sinai. It's not real inviting, maybe in a sense, but could you imagine the children of Israel being brought to this mountain and coming before the Lord Almighty, God Himself, to worship in this place? And it says back in Exodus chapter 20, 19, I believe, that account, when the nation of Israel was there before the mountain of the Lord. And in chapter 19, it says, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. They set out, and as they came, while there Israel encamped before the mountain, and while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words, and the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak, when you and may also believe you forever. And when Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day not to go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very large trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp ran to the mountain. No. What did they do? They trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it, and in fire, and the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to them, to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it, And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. Wow. Told them. And here we have the writer of Hebrews saying to them, there are two mountains. I'm going to tell you about. I'm telling you about the mountain of Sinai, right? This mountain. Two mountains. Matt Redman wrote a song. We'll quote that in a little bit. But in a devotional based on that song, these words were in this devotional. In our world of glitz and glamour, flash and fantasy, it's so easy to forget what worship is really about. It should really be about Jesus. And then Jesus said this, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. That's from Jesus. And so the writer of Hebrews comes, and he tells us, first of all, the place of worship. It's not this place that is of Mount Sinai that was once introduced to the people of Israel. In verses 18 and 19, we see what it is not. It is not the mountain of fear and trembling. It's not what may be touched. It's not an idol. It's not a blazing fire. So in other words, it's not a show. It's not filled with darkness, so it's not consumed with evil. It's not filled with gloom. It is not destructive. It is not a storm or tempest. In other words, it's not based on circumstances. It's not the sound of a trumpet, though that may be a warning sign or announcement, but it's not filled with noise. Even though God has allowed us to use music, it's really not that. And it's a voice whose words speak. It's God's word that speak, and his voice, yes, to the nation of Israel at this time became terrifying to make the hearers hear. But they begged, saying, Lord, don't let God speak to us. We are afraid of him, filled with fear. Worship is not fear in that sense of being afraid. We see that the writer here says the place of worship is not that former mountain. Oh, why? Why does he say that? Because there is a person. And we know that person. Don't you know that person? Verse 24 says, there is a person. What it is, it says, you've come to the mountain of faith. You've come to the mountain of faith in verse 22 and so on. 20 says, but you have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and here's the person, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. In other words, what is? We've come to the mountain of the Lord. It's Mount Zion. There's a contrast here. The mountain of fear, the mountain of faith. And Mount Zion, in the Hebrew, the word for mountain is H-A-R-H-A-R, and it's the theological overtones. It associates two of God's most important revelations with a mountain. God gave the Hebrews the Mosaic Law on Mount Sinai. Then Mount Zion becomes a place where the Lord puts his name. Zion is considered my holy hill, my mountain. It's the place where he has chosen to reign. Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, those devoted to the Lord, have the right to ascend the hill of the Lord and to worship him there. The day is coming when many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, in order to learn his ways, Isaiah 2:3. Here we see that it is Mount Zion. Jesus' disciples are called the light of the world, and we are to shine in the darkness of the world, just as a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so this significant mountain, the Mount Zion, is the place, the eternal kingdom of our Lord. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying to these believers who are struggling in their faith because of persecution, because of pressure, he's saying to them, I want you to come and worship God, but not in the old style that you're being pressured to go back to. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord, and we come in his name. We come to him to worship in the spirit and in truth. We see that this Mount Zion is the city of the living God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with him? I want to meet with him. Do you desire to meet with God Almighty every day? Does your soul hunger and thirst? Man's soul is hungering and thirsting so often, but we miss because we don't set a place. We don't come to meet the person. And so we miss. We fill our lives with so many other things except Jesus, and to know him and to make him known. This Mount Zion is going to be a wonderful time. We're gathered around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says innumerable angels in a festal gathering. And guess what? When we're there, you know one thing you won't have to wear? A mask. You won't have to wear a mask. Why? Because the Lord is in the midst and he is our great physician, our great healer, our great king. We won't have to wear a mask. And so we come to worship the person, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. We respond to that invitation, that call. One theologian said this, he said, the writer here of Hebrews turns from warning to encouragement, reminding the readers of the privileges that are theirs by God's grace, yet such privileges demand an ongoing response of faith and obedience. When Israel gathered at Mount Sinai to hear the voice of God, it was a terrifying occasion, moving the people to beg that no further word be spoken to them. Christians, on the other hand, have come by faith to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, where God is in the midst of a joyful assembly of angels and the perfected saints of all generations. The emphasis here is on the acceptance because of Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant and his atoning death. So we have no reason to refuse him who speaks or to turn away from him who warns us from heaven. Certainly about sharing in God's unshakable kingdom. This should motivate us to a life of gratitude and acceptable worship, which brings us to the practice of worship. Verse 25, it says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. So often we get so many voices in our heads or so many thoughts in our minds that we don't hear God speak. Or we are so busy throughout the day that we don't take time to get into his word and to soak his word, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us so that we can observe what is being written, so we can apply what he's saying to our lives, and so that we can worship him in praise and in prayer. The practice is in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. In other words, God is giving the good news of Christ. To as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, and that is what we are. But yet he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. They rejected the truth. And the writer here is telling them again, listen, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart. Don't forget what you've been taught. Don't stray away from the faith. Keep your eyes looking to Jesus. And listen what he is teaching by his Spirit. Don't reject him. Because he's coming again. It says, yet once more, he's coming again. His time, his voice shook the earth. Yeah, probably Mount Sinai. It shook. It trembled. It caused real fear. But there's coming a day when Christ will come again. yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken. I don't know if you've experienced an earthquake. I know some who have, and it's very unsettling, sort of like a hurricane. Have you experienced a hurricane? Been in a house where it's all shook? Been in a place where part of the house detaches from itself and flies around like an aluminum can on the road, facing the floods and the waters? It's unsettling. It's our whole inner being is shaken. Yet the writer goes on. He says, yes, once more, in order that these things that, you know, that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What cannot be shaken? If our faith and our trust is in Christ, our Savior, He is our rock. He is our firm foundation. He is our cornerstone. Our trust is in Him. Our faith in Christ cannot be shaken. His kingdom cannot be shaken. And we therefore, as verse 28 says, we therefore need to be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We need to be grateful. Grateful for the blessings that God has given us. We need to be grateful for what God has done and what God is doing. We need to be grateful for, as we've been reminded, of who He is. And thus, offer to God acceptable worship, reasonable worship, pleasing worship. The Greek here speaks of that. It's well-pleasing, acceptable, grateful. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks of that we are to even engage our whole body as an offering that is acceptable to God as our reasonable, pleasing worship unto Him. To be a servant, to render homage to Him, to offer our sacrifices of praise and present offerings to Him. It's part of our worship, and we do this with reverence for who God is, for what He's done, for what He's made. We heard this week Charles Billingsley. You might know of him. He is a worship leader, a singer. And he said he had COVID before actually they knew it was COVID. And it hit him hard. He couldn't even really, at the worst, he had blood clots in his legs and he was crawling on the ground to the bathroom trying to survive. The doctor called him up and said, Charles, by all accounts, your blood test tells us that you should be dead. He said, oh, doctor, thank you for encouraging me. That's what he did. He said that. And he said, the Lord really spoke to his heart. He said, he came into his mind, and what came to his heart and mind was Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. How can I rejoice when I'm struggling with COVID? Rejoice in the Lord always. And with everything, with prayer and petition or supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to know, known to God. And he said, thanksgiving, that was the hard part. How can I be thankful when I can't even breathe? And then the Lord told him, I want you to praise me and give thanks for this COVID. And he's like, oh. So he did. He said, Lord, thank you for the COVID. What are you teaching me? How can I praise you in the midst of this COVID? And he led the whole conference then in a song called Great is the Lord. But there's a line in there, and I got a kick out of it because when I first heard this song, I said, oh, that's the lung song. And if you've experienced COVID and the shortness of breath or asthma, you can understand it's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath, God. You give us breath to breathe. It's your breath in our lungs, so we shout out our praise. We shout out our praise. Great is the Lord. And so he began focusing on God, and it took a struggle for him, but he eventually accepted the Lord. And he said, this is what I learned. I said, I need to praise God for what he's made. I need to praise God for what he's done. And I need to praise God for who he is. That's part of being grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, bringing worship that is an offering to God with reverence and awe. Why? Because he is a consuming fire. fire. Means he is holy. He's completely other. So the invitation is given. So what is God saying to your heart this morning? What is he saying to me? God wants us to be unafraid to approach him. He yearns for interaction with his greatest creation, you. He longs to spend quality time with the one he loves. He invites us to come to him just as we are. The Israelites were sacred. And to him, they were his chosen people, but they were scared of God. Moses encouraged them to approach God, even though they were sinful people. They didn't have to be rid of their sin before they came. They simply had to have hearts that were motivated to be pure. God wants us to have a heart of approach. He wants us to come to him in simplicity and full of reverence. It doesn't have to be a big show. We don't need to come with a stockpile of $5 words to impress God. We just have to come. Don't be afraid. Just come. That is the heart of worship. Matt Redman said this, "When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming." Are you coming this morning? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. All about you. Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. Jesus, King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Every single breath. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Jesus is inviting us to come and worship God the Father in him and through him. Oh, don't refuse to hear what the Spirit is saying. Don't allow your intellect to rationalize an act of faith. Don't allow human fear to cripple you stepping out of the boat, so to speak, and looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's worship God together. Father, as we are reminded this morning of your word, there are two mountains, a mountain of fear, a mountain of faith. And Lord, it is your desire for us to be a people of faith who represent Jesus Christ to the world. But many times we can't do that because we are so entangled with the sin that just comes and grips and binds us and trips us up. And we can't get loose from it. Whether it's negative thoughts, a poor self-image, thinking that we are really not a true son and daughter, whether it's some habitual sin we keep falling into, like a runner who forgets to tie his shoelaces and trips over and over again, Lord, we just keep going back to that same old sinful habit. Whether it's allowing fear to grip our soul today, Lord, whatever it is, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, even now, Lord Jesus, as you're speaking to your children, that you will minister and bring healing, bring hope, hallelujah. Bring Jesus in, Lord, your fullness, that we can look full in your wonderful face, and that your glory will just outshine everything and will shout, nothing is better than you, nothing. As people of God, clothed with the righteous robes and the fragrance of Christ, come